dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, you can text the show 713-572-4610. People are excited about Jalen Knoll. Sean, he's Diggs 2.0. Can't wait. That's high praise, man. It's high praise.
Diggs 2.0. I feel it's unfair to a young prospect to just forecast.
It's a little premature, maybe,
for
Diggs 2.0.
Really, really good. Now, I don't know how Jalen Knoll dresses. Does he dress as well as Stephon Diggs?
Can he pull
or at
off
least as extravagantly as Stephon Diggs does?
Outfit at the Met Gala last night. I don't know, man. I think Diggs is on the short list of people that can pull that one off. That was pretty
Diggs
good.
Diggs was wearing a black kind of almost like a Matrix type suit with a fur coat draped over one shoulder.
Like half a lion draped over his shoulder. Yeah, yeah.
In these bright red shoes. Yeah. I said it looked like he was using the dark side of the force to kill Jon Snow on his way to the magical land of Oz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of other people thought that they looked like there's a little bit of a Prince Zamunda vibe
Prince of Zamunda. Akeem Jaffer of Zamunda. Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy back in the day. He does. That's true. They had the lion kind of clamping his mouth down on the pullover thing there going on in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. All right, follow-up moves for the Rockets after playoff losses to Golden State. Seth, let's relive the magic of some of the things the Rockets have done. And judge the ones that they need to do better. I would submit that they need to do better than most of these as their big follow-up moves. I think there's a really good chance they run the young nucleus back, but there are other moves that probably need to be made or are going to be available to them. You know, what they end up doing with this lottery pick that they have, you know, if you're going to keep all these young guys, do you draft yet another one to sit and rot on the bench next to Reed Sheppard and Cam Whitmore? Or do you move that pick? And if you move that pick, hopefully it's for something significant. At any rate, the other four times that they've lost to Golden State in the playoffs, these were the moves that were made in response to losing to Golden State in the playoffs.
Ooh.
In 2015, they lost in the Western Conference Finals in five games. That was the first trip to the Western Conference Finals that James Harden made as a Rocket with Dwight Howard on that team. Their big move that offseason, they said, you know what, we need some horsepower at point guard. So they made a trade for Ty Lawson from Denver, who was waived by March.
Yeah, that was a...
Ty Lawson at his peak was a borderline all-star in Denver. Like, he was very good.
Wasn't there something extra going on with Ty Lawson?
Ultimately, there was. He had some off-the-court stuff going
on. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay, but that happened. That was after they traded for him.
I think,
felt like it might have been in the... They actually traded for him like while it was still going on.
He was a distressed asset when they traded for him. Otherwise, Denver wouldn't have traded.
He just had personal life issues, right? It wasn't necessarily criminal.
It wasn't criminal.
He just had some issues in his personal life.
Yeah. He was waived.
He was
waived by Mar. That was the big move. And again, that was the season where they went 4-7 to start the year, and Kevin McHale was gone 11 games into the season. But
I remember we were at, ironically enough, at a Wingstop when McHale got fired. I remember it was like 5 minutes before he went on. I was walking around in the parking lot of the Wingstop over there in Maryland. And I say ironically because earlier we were talking about Jalen Green's Wingstop commercial.
Yep.
Mike Meltzer and I were trying to figure out what the hell was going on with Kevin McHale getting fired.
Yeah, dude, it was funny. The opening day of that season in 2015, 2016, the opening day, I actually did a sit-down interview with Les Alexander for I wrote the chapter of the Rockets, whatever it was, 50th anniversary book. I wrote the Les Alexander chapter. They had me come in and do it because I'd written some really good articles about the Rockets for the Houston Press.
Ooh.
So I got to do a sit down with Les Alexander for like 2 hours. And this was, I don't think I'm breaking any confidences here by telling this story. That was the Monday after the Texans had gotten blown out by the Dolphins in 2015. Remember that game?
Yeah.
They were losing.
You know, we thought everybody was going to get fired at the bye week.
Yeah.
We're coming up on the bye week.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They were 2-5, lost to a Dan Campbell coached Miami Dolphins team.
Yeah.
And so
Dan Campbell.
So I come into Les Alexander's office that day to do the interview, and I tell him I'd met him a couple times, but I reintroduced myself, and he's like, "So, you know, you're with 6'10". What else do you do?" I said, "I do pre and post game for the Texans." He's like, "Ooh, tell me something about the Texans that I don't know."
Ooh.
And I'm like, I don't really have anything. Like I forget what I said. I don't think I gave him anything. But he goes, "You think they're gonna fire? You think they're gonna fire their coach?" And I said, "I don't know, man. Like they've historically been a pretty patient team that doesn't fire coaches in year two." He's like, "Oh, they gotta fire the coach. They're 2-5. They got no hope. You gotta have hope. They got no hope. You gotta have hope. You gotta fire the coach. You gotta fire the coach." And I'm sitting there. He said it over and over again as he's flipping poker chips in his left hand, like flipping poker chips like one over top of the other. "You gotta fire the coach. You gotta have hope. You gotta have hope." And I'm thinking to myself,
5 isn't an unsurmountable. Like plenty of teams in history have.
They have, and the Texans did, to their credit. They got to 9-7. But I that stuck in my brain, and so one day when the Rockets were off to their abysmal start that year, the season started that day, and they got off to their abysmal start that year, and right about the time they were like 3-6 or 4-6, something like that, I just came in one day, and Ted and Rich and I were talking off the air, and I just turned to Ted and Rich, I said, "I think he's going to fire McHale." Yeah. I said, I think he's going to fire Kevin McHale, and they're like, "Why are you saying that? He just got to the Western Conference Finals last year." I'm like, I told him the story I just told our audience right now. I said, that's the mentality that Les Alexander had about where the Rockets are where the Texans were through, you know, like 7 games that year, you know?
Well,
like,
that was after an offseason in which the Rockets had come back against the Clippers with James Harden sitting on the bench.
Yes, the die was cast back
then.
That
is, so when that year, when the move was to sign Ty Lawson and then also to, early in the season, fire Kevin McHale, I don't think the Rockets are anywhere near that level of drama or anything turmoil on the inside.
Good point.
They're in a better spot in a lot of ways right now than they were then.
No doubt about that. No doubt about it. Okay, so that was after 2015. The next season was 2016, the season that we're talking about. They got knocked out in the first round. They were the 8 seed. The Warriors were the 1 seed. They got knocked out in 5. That was not unexpected. However, major changes that offseason after being 41-41. They move on from Dwight Howard. They sign Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson and Nene, and they hire Mike D'Antoni to be their head coach.
Right.
Major
and that,
moves.
I would say, again, that was when, man, you'd gone through a couple years of Dwight Howard and James Harden just not either seeing eye to eye or being the right fit, and everything just felt kind of clunky, like there was something holding you from being really as good as you could be. I would say, in terms of feel, it still feels better on the Rockets
now. Way better.
Even without having a James Harden on the team,
you
feel better about the way the organization is operating.
No doubt.
Especially because they're building, they've got a core that they can build with. This is one of the biggest differences between the Daryl Morey-led teams and this current Rockets team is it was always hard with Morey's teams because it was just such a rotating cast of characters. You're just always trading guys in and rotating them out, and it was hard to really get to really embrace a lot of the players.
Yep.
I feel like even though there might be a trade or two here in the offseason, it feels like a more stable core.
I agree with you. Okay, so in 2017, they skipped a year of losing to the Warriors. Instead, they got blown out by the Spurs in an elimination game at home. That was when they traded for Chris Paul right after that. So a year later, they lose in the Western Conference Finals to the Golden State Warriors. That was the Chris Paul pulled the hamstring series in Game 5. You lose in Game 7 after missing 27 straight three-pointers. Seth, their big move that offseason? Bring in Carmelo Anthony, who was traded after 10 games as a Rocket.
This is the problem, though. It was never a big move from anybody. Like, they didn't consider it a big move within the organization. He signed a 1-year, $2 million deal. Yeah. It was very much a kick the tires on Carmelo Anthony and see what you can get out of him. But because it's the stupid NBA, and even the really smart writers are really stupid about just jock sniffing anybody with a name, people made a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rockets largely, like, it was a fringe move in their minds. Yeah. And I give them credit for moving on from it when it didn't work
out. For the scale that it was a disaster, but it wasn't a big time disaster that torpedoed the season or anything. It's just,
you know, it's funny because it wasn't after a Warriors loss, but the Chris Paul
was after they lost to the Spurs in 2017.
Right, after they lost to the Spurs. Yeah. I mean, I think that's one that, remember, that was a year also where people were looking around and there was a lot of chatter about, like, well, you know what? I think a lot of teams are just kind of bide their time and wait until the Warriors are done with this stretch of dominance.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I really appreciated and respected Daryl Morey for saying, like, no, we're just not gonna lay down and let the barbarian hordes kill us all into our families. Like, no, we're gonna fight.
And they should have beat him.
Chris Paul.
And they should have beat him. And Daryl Morey had kind of alluded to having a move up his sleeve, and that was the move. So, but that was after the Spurs. The final time before Sunday that they had lost to the Golden State Warriors in the postseason was in 2019 when Kevin Durant tore his Achilles in Game 5 of that series, and then the Rockets couldn't close the deal in Game 5, and then they played the Warriors without Kevin Durant in Game 6. That Warriors team would end up making it to the finals and losing to Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors, but the response to losing to the Warriors that year was probably the closest thing to a nuke. They traded Chris Paul, the very Chris Paul, Seth, that they had traded for 2 years ago.
Yep.
Traded him and a bunch of first-round picks for Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook was viewed as the better player in that trade because it was the Rockets who had to give up all the draft capital for them to, quote, take on Chris Paul's $40 million a year contract.
Yeah.
Chris Paul ends up getting the Thunder to the playoffs unexpectedly, then gets traded to the Suns and gets them to the NBA Finals. So there was Chris Paul still turned out to have plenty left in the tank, but that was the big move after 2019. I would say, like, of those four seasons where they've lost to the Warriors, they've made moves following those seasons that have not worked. So we need that trend to move back in the right direction this offseason.
That was you lost Chris Paul and got the declining version of Russell Westbrook. That the one big hitch with him was, like, oh, it turns out he can't play when there's a center on the
floor. That's the thing. It led to several other detrimental moves just to accommodate his playing style.
It led to, like, a 2-week stretch during COVID when we thought,
who
needs anybody taller than 6'4" on the floor?
That's it.
We're gonna micro ball our way to glory.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of the misery right there.
Yep.
I don't know, like, that. It's not like I felt down on the Rockets at various stretches during that, but I feel differently and better in a lot of respects about this current team than I did through a lot of that drama and a lot of those moves. And that's not throwing shade at Daryl Morey or James Harden or anybody else. Having this young core of guys that showed something in the playoffs and they can do a little bit better. And I'll include Jalen Green in that. To be clear, because I feel like people keep coming at me like I'm getting on the microphone and saying I despise Jalen Green or something. I've just reset my expectations about Jalen Green.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you do that, if you forget, and you have to forget about the current salary a little bit, but still, as long as you don't think of him as a guy that's someday going to be the alpha, yes, he can be a very, very valuable part of your team, and he can help lead you to the playoffs, but they need more, either in development of some of the other guys or in the infusion of a superstar via trade.
This is the sense I get when it comes to, I'll use Kevin Durant as the example, because that seems to be the guy that most people in and out of Houston are talking about as a possibility. And I do think of the guys that are being discussed, especially when it's Giannis and it's KD, that KD is going to cost less in terms of assets than Giannis, who's 7 years younger and a top four MVP guy every single year, healthier, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
I do think one of the biggest differences between the Rockets teams that you and I just got done talking about and this one is that the goal for all of those teams was to try to figure out what the mix was around James Harden. And there was an entitlement that James Harden had in that building that I think till the day – like the day that he came in and said, I want out of here, they started to regret all that leash that they had given James Harden and all that leeway and all the things that guy from Dallas, the Mavericks commentator whose audio we played last week, talked about behind the scenes of them staying behind on road trips because James wanted to party in L.A. or Miami. All of those things I think they came to regret. This Rockets team is very different. If you listen to any of the postgame interviews after this loss, it's just a slew of young guys with tremendous accountability that all love playing with each other. I think that's the biggest fear that Rocket fans have with trading Kevin Durant is not necessarily the capital, whether it's draft capital or players or both, that you'd give up to get him. It's, is his personality going to get plunked in here and spoil that chemistry and mix for the Rockets.
It does so if you take just that, take that side of it, of okay, the Rockets have a good culture going and you like what they can build on with all of this.
Yeah.
If that's your spine and your core of what you're trying
to
build.
Yeah.
Who do you like, regardless of age or anything else, just in terms of who do you feel is a better fit, Giannis or Durant?
Giannis. I think Giannis. I think KD's a better fit as a player, assuming he's healthy.
Yeah.
And still playing at a high level. He scratches them where they itch much better. You know,
I think
he
can. But I think if they, like, it's, you know, usually when you talk about culture and whatnot, I never like hearing coaches talk about it unless they've demonstrated that they're good at instilling a certain culture. And I feel like Kelvin Sampson is one of those guys. The culture, if Kelvin Sampson talks about culture, yes, it matters because he's really good at establishing one. I think Udoka. Yes, it matters. I think he's good at establishing it.
Yeah.
I think D'Amico's on his way there. Like, they got, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, they certainly have. So with the Rockets, I feel like culture really, really matters, and I don't mind the coaches talking about it because they've established that they know what they're doing.
Yep.
Some coaches talk about culture, and they're like, you're just reciting some
motivational
slogan
you heard somewhere. You just read a book. Yep.
Yeah. You're just reciting a paragraph from the book you read this
you
summer.
You just read a Twitter string that Sean Pendergast would read and take as gospel, all right?
Hey, you know what? Yesterday when you said that you have a bunch of various self-help Twitter threads that you bookmarked, the one I realized, I've got like 19 different bookmarks of AI prompts that you should use to streamline a process, to the point now where I need an AI prompt to consolidate all the AI prompt streams that I have to show me how to do something.
All right, there's an AI. Okay, we got it.
I haven't used a single one of them, by the way.
I've got an AI question I got to bounce off you. I'll do it in the next segment about AI. And also the biggest story in the NFL. The biggest story in the NFL yesterday, we've got the reaction. We will react to the biggest story. And can these items sustain us through the dog days of now until training camp? I've got a few I want to bounce off Seth. We'll do that coming up next.